Suffer them both to grow until the harvest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Wheat and weeds, saints and sinners, let them both grow together until the last day, the harvest. That may be part of the reason why sometimes, in some sense, sinners and saints resemble each other, at least superficially. They say that the curé of Ars, patron of parish priests, we have his statue on the St. Joseph side, that he looked an awful lot like the terrible anti-Catholic crusader, the French philosopher Voltaire, who lived before the French Revolution and always wanted to destroy the Catholic Church. They looked almost exactly alike, save for one detail. The curé of Ars had a smile, and well might he smile, because he had God in his heart, sanctifying grace. Now, they say, speaking of connections, that Voltaire and the great saint of youth, St. John Bosco, used both of them to love to repeat the same Italian proverb. In the original, it is, il meglio è nemico del bene. The better is the enemy of the good. Think of that. That's today's gospel lesson. It might have been better for the farmer to root up the weed from his field, but not at the cost of losing any of the wheat he had planted. In that case, don't let the better be the enemy of the good. This saint, in his great work in 19th century Turin, had a confrere of his, another priest, who was always wanting Don Bosco not to do something. He would say, not yet, or if you can't do it right, don't do it. He wanted everything to be perfect. But Don Bosco would go ahead, and he'd get more boys in from off the street. And if he had no place to house them, why, they'd be squatters for a while. They'd take over some abandoned building, and then they'd be evicted in due time, and then they would find another, and they would go there. He wanted to do good, and good was good enough. It didn't have to be perfect, just good. For years, I'm afraid, I've held on to the better when it comes to making your first Saturdays. You know, those are those five in a row communions on the first Saturday of the month Our Lady asked for at Fatima in reparation. I was always thinking all these years, better to make it the right way, better for you to make the sacrifice, the promise of assistance at your last moment to die in sanctifying grace, surely is worth the sacrifice of going to church five Saturdays in a row once in your lifetime. Anyone could manage that. But the truth of the matter is, very few people do. Last fall, there was a family that came, and from far away, and it was very edifying to see them. And I remember about 10 years ago, there was a family that would come to make their first Saturdays. And for a while, we had in the afternoon the distribution of communion on First Saturday for the same purpose. But eventually that died out. Finally, it's always the same group. Yesterday morning, no exception, about the same group of people who come to make reparation as asked for. But our Lord actually says that it would be good enough if you came the next day, Sunday, when you have to come to church anyway. You just need to ask the priest in the confessional for permission to do so, and there you go. You could start even today. You just receive communion with an intention of making reparation to Our Lady's heart, and you pop into the confessional and ask the priest, as you make a confession, if you could have permission to do this, and he will say yes. And then you'd say your rosary. You could even say your rosary here at church, or at least some of the decades, and then meditating as well as you can. And then you keep Mary company, meditating a little bit more at some point in the day, here at church or at home, for about 15 minutes on the rosary mysteries. The first Saturdays date back one century. It was in July of 1917 that Our Lady promised, she said, "I'll come and I'll ask for a communion of reparation for five first Saturdays of the month." That wasn't a new idea. There already was in the church an indulgence devotion of the 15 first Saturdays for the 15 mysteries of the rosary. But our Lord, in 1930, told Sister Lucy, "People start, but they never persevere, and it always peters out before they get to 15. He wasn't going to let the better be the enemy of the good. But I'm getting ahead of the story. Our Lady fulfilled her promise, and she appeared to Sister Lucy at Pontevedra in Spain. And Sister Lucy tells the story. It was 1925, and she was praying on the feast of Our Lady of Loreto, the 10th of December. And Our Lady appeared, and the baby Jesus comes too on a beautiful, bright cloud. And Our Lady does this. Imagine, she puts her hand on Lucy's shoulder, and with her other hand, she holds out her heart that's surrounded by thorns. And then the baby Jesus says, "Have compassion on the heart of your mother. Look, it's covered with thorns. Ungrateful men pierce it at every moment, and there's no one even to make an act of reparation." And then Our Lady says, "Look at my heart, daughter. It's surrounded by thorns. At least you try to console me, and I promise to assist at the moment of death with the graces necessary for salvation all those who will fulfill the first Saturday promises." Now, Lucy was just a novice with the Sisters of St. Dorothy to start with, and they wore kind of a funny ruffle around their face. That was their habit. And as a novice, she couldn't say too much. She told her superior and confessor, but the devotion went nowhere. This is where it gets interesting. Sister Lucy, the novice, was on the garbage detail, and every day she had to carry the garbage out to a pit in the back behind the garden. They would dump it, and eventually, of course, they'd fill in with dirt. Well, children, if ever you're asked to take out the garbage, do not resent it, and do it right away. You never know who you might run into. Well, she's carrying out the garbage, and now it's the next year. It's February of 26, and she's just doing her duty. That's very Fatima, too, isn't it? The duties of your state of life, the penance that's connected with it. And she sees a child, a boy, and she remembers a few months before, in December, she came across that same boy, and she had a little talk with him, and she said, "Do you know how to say your Hail Mary?" And the boy didn't say anything. And so she taught the boy to say the Hail Mary, and then she tried to get the boy to say it, and he wouldn't. But she said it with him one more time, and then she said to the boy, "Do you know where the Church of St. Mary is?" And the boy said, "Yes." And she said, "Go to the Church of St. Mary every day and say this prayer, 'Oh, my Heavenly Mother, give me your child, Jesus.'" She taught him to say that prayer, and then the boy departed. Well, there she is with the garbage on the 15th, and she's not thinking about the child, just doing her job. And she looks up, and she sees him again. And her first thought is, she's a teacher, "Did you remember, son, did you remember that prayer I taught you? Have you asked our Heavenly Mother for the child Jesus?" And then the child turns to her and says, "And have you revealed to the world what the Heavenly Mother has asked you?" And with that, he's transformed into a resplendent child, the Son of God. And things get going after that, and that's how we got the first Saturday devotions. Five years later, while she's praying in the chapel, she's not emptying trash anymore, but she's praying in church, and our Lord appears and explains why there are five first Saturdays. And he also says that if people can't make it to church on Saturday, after all, it was the Depression by now, it was 1930, maybe gas, and then people that live at a distance. He said, well, they could ask the priest in confession, he could give permission to do these first Saturdays the next day when they're in church on Sunday. And then he said, the reason why there are five is because there are five ways that people offend his mother, her Immaculate Heart. Blasphemies against her Immaculate Conception, against her perpetual virginity. There was something in the news the other day about a nun, if you can imagine it, in Spain, who denied Our Lady's perpetual virginity recently. Blasphemies against the divine and the spiritual maternity of Mary, against her images, rejecting the idea of having her images or honoring them, and also this, neglect of implanting in the hearts of little children the knowledge and the love of this Immaculate Mother. So we have the first Saturdays because his mother asked Jesus for them. And of course she said, yes. So this is the reason, our Lord says, why the Immaculate Heart has asked me for this little act of reparation to move my mercy to forgive souls who have had the misfortune to offend her. This is one of the main ideas of Fatima. When it comes to Fatima, we've talked before about that, you may think in terms of apocalypse and the end of the world, but you'd be mistaken. You may think in terms exclusively of a kind of an unusual devotion for those who are devout. You'd be on the wrong track. Or you may even think about the idea of the sins of the flesh and the vision of hell. And that's good to think about, but there's more. Our Lord says that he is so offended by people who will not honor his mother. Think of the prophecy at the visitation. Behold, all generations will call me blessed, and yet there are many who will not. Heretics, your Novus Ordo liberals, doubters, scoffers, slothful people. Look at the changes where they threw all the beautiful pictures of Our Lady out of the church and the statues. And our Lord says, this sin against her is so bad that I don't feel it in my heart to forgive these people. That's where you come in, he says. You must move my mercy. You must make something extra, some reparation, so they may be forgiven and their souls may be saved. In addition, there's that promise that he'll help you save your own soul at your last hour. So, put crudely, what's in it for me? I will come at the hour of death, our Lord promises, with all the graces necessary for salvation. What do I have to do to start? You go to confession. You could even do that today if you wanted to, or the confession could be a little bit before or a little bit after, a week or two before, a week or two after the first Saturday. And you could do it next month if you wanted to. And you ask for permission to make the first Saturday on a Sunday. The priest will say yes. And then you just make the intention just once. Don't worry if you forget at the moment, because we all forget. But my confession, my five confessions in a row, my five communions in a row are reparation to Mary's heart. Then you make your communion as usual, as devoutly as you can, with her. You say your rosary sometime today, meditating as well as you can on the mysteries. Just do your best, remember. And last of all, there's the part about keep me company. Why is that? Well, remember, Mary is a mother. She's our blessed mother. Now, what does a mother want most of all in life? To spend, we say, quality time, to spend time with her children. You might think to yourself, well, me? What would I talk to the mother of God about? Well, I'm glad you asked. You could talk about some of the mysteries of the rosary. That's what she's looking for. Does that sound mysterious? Work in some of the mysteries of your own life and think about them maybe in connection with the life of Jesus and of Mary. There are other ways of doing it, though, too, aside from a regular meditation. You know how children will say, and you have to be a child to get to heaven. Read me a story. Well, read the Blessed Mother a story. Read something in a book about some of these mysteries. You could read it in the Gospels and go over it with Mary. Ask her about it as little children would. What does this mean? Why are these people here? And it's the same thing if you can't even do that. Sometimes you're very frazzled and tired. What's the last resource in dealing with children? Go over a picture book with them. And you just look at the pictures together. You could do that with Our Lady. She'd be quite happy to look at the pictures with you. And at the same time, as I say, you can explain to her a little bit about what the pictures mean, you think, and she might help you out to understand them better. Suffer them both to grow until the harvest. How patient God is. When you're talking to Mary, you could go over that a little bit too. There are some weeds left in your life, doubtless. But the garbage, take it out right away, as soon as you're told to. And you never know. You might run into Jesus. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.